Hello everyone, welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to run through some of the things that have changed over the last week, both in terms of the ongoing COVID-19 situation and changes to tobacco laws. And we're going to hear from James Lohman in an interview about some new research that we've launched over the last couple of days. First up, there are a couple of updates on testing. So the government has now expanded the eligibility for coronavirus testing to anyone over the age of 5 that is displaying symptoms. And for self-referrals, the process has now moved online. I think previously you had to either call or text a number. So if you want to get tested, you can go to a website which is, and it's best to grab a pen here, it's a bit long. So it's self-referral.test-4coronavirus.service.gov.uk. I appreciate that's quite a long website link. So we'll put the link in the description of this podcast because at the moment it doesn't seem that straightforward to find via Google or other search engines are available. The employer portal for referrals is also still as it was before, and it sounds like some of those emails for access to the portal are starting to come through, so that's good. The main thing to remember with all of this, with the testing, is that as it is, this is the test for if you might have the virus now, not a test for if you've had it at any point in the past. The antibody testing is coming, we're hearing, for people that have had it at some point, so look out for that. But to be clear, if you want to get tested now, it's because you've got symptoms now, and ideally in the first 3 days of having symptoms. Speaking of symptoms then, the government has now added anosmia, which is a change or loss in your sense of smell, to fever and or a persistent cough as symptoms that would mean you should self-isolate. And now with the expanding testing criteria to get tested as well. We've got information on our website about self-isolating and how it impacts convenience stores and members of staff. So please take a look at that at acs.org.uk. Shifting away from coronavirus for the moment, from today, menthol cigarettes are banned, and I'm not going to go into all the details of what is and isn't covered. We've got a whole podcast with our policy expert Julie Byers on the subject, so please go and have a listen to that if you're not sure on what is and isn't covered in the ban. And there is of course loads of advice on the website, so go and check that out as well. We've got posters as well that you can display in store, and I've actually seen quite a few of these out in the wild in stores, so it looks like retailers are finding them useful in getting the message across to customers. In addition to the menthol ban coming into force, today is the end of the sell-through period for track and trace regulations. And to be clear, it was hopefully not confusing, but this is not test, track and trace, as in coronavirus. It's track and trace, as in tobacco products. So everyone who wants to buy tobacco should now have at least two codes, one for their business and one for each store that they run. And if you don't have your codes, you will not be able to purchase tobacco from wholesalers or suppliers because they will not legally be able to sell it to you. So get that sorted as soon as possible. Make sure you've got your codes together. Again, we've got loads of information on how to get through the process of getting codes on our website, so check that out. Let's move on to the main interview in this week's lighter edition of the podcast now. At the start of May, we conducted a survey covering thousands of stores, which looks at how the convenience sector has responded to the lockdown. It looks at what's happening with sales, crime, social distancing, increasing services, pretty much all the things that we've been hearing and talking about from retailers on the podcast in the last few weeks. The results are now in, and there's some really interesting findings in there. So if you would like a copy of the full report of the survey, then email me. It's chris.noyce@acs.org.uk. Let's get to the interview then, where James is talking to local radio stations about the findings of the report.
So joining me on the line now for a little bit more is CEO of the Association of Convenience Stores, James Lohman. So James, just let us know exactly what the findings of this research you did say overall and the way the convenience stores have been coping since the start of the crisis.
Yes, I think that your listeners will probably relate to some of the findings from our survey, because when you go out and you look at convenience stores, local shops now, you're generally seeing people queuing at a 2 meter safe distance. We have seen an increase in sales in convenience stores, actually not driven by more customers. The number of customers has stayed about the same, but the amount that they're spending when they're going to the store has gone up quite significantly. People are shopping for food to feed their household for probably a number of days. People aren't popping out for those quick impulse trips to a store to buy a chocolate bar or a soft drink. They may be buying those products, but as part of a much wider and bigger shop. So footfall down slightly, the average basket spend significantly up, and overall convenience stores playing an even more important role in their communities, serving customers who really need them.
Absolutely. And one of the most prevalent things that people are always a little bit worried about are stock levels. You know, in supermarkets, it still seems to be the case that there are certain things missing, certain items. We all know which ones they are, especially towards the start of this. But has that also been the case for convenience stores, and has it got better by now?
Certainly the challenges with empty shelves that we're seeing in supermarkets, that has definitely calmed down really since about the end of March. I mean, that's come back to a much more normal situation over the past few weeks. But the story really in our sector is convenience retailers having some real challenges with getting supply through, because there's only so much product out there. There was that massive leap in demands in the end of March, beginning of April. And so replenishing that and filling the shelves up again has been a real challenge for everyone. And particularly for our members, smaller retailers, maybe it's harder when there's a fight to get that product into the store. We maybe haven't got the same power as some of our larger competitors to get that. So what you're seeing actually when you go to convenience stores, it's still pretty full shelves. So they're really well stocked, really good availability, but they've done that really by sourcing from lots of different people, local suppliers, people who may normally have been serving restaurants and hotels. They, convenience store operators have worked with them to get some product from them in as well. So really having to think laterally, think around it, get product into the store, maintain that availability, and to battle what have been some quite significant issues with supplying, particularly the smallest stores.
Exactly. And you say about thinking laterally, thinking outside the box. One of the things that the ACS announced a few weeks ago at the start of this was home delivery. How is that continuing? How popular is it? And how are your members still dealing with that?
Yeah, it's absolutely extraordinary, the story on home deliveries from convenience stores. So to put it into context, probably quite a small minority of convenience stores were offering home delivery before this crisis started. It's now nearly two-thirds, 62% of convenience stores are offering home delivery. So that service has come from nowhere. It amounts, we estimate, to 600,000 deliveries per week being offered by convenience stores. I say businesses that previously, most of them didn't do this. So it's quite extraordinary how this has come online so quickly. And so the challenge for members is how can they maintain that service? How can they fulfill those orders, working with volunteers, working with taxi companies who obviously lost a lot of their business recently, working with colleagues working in the store and obviously the retailers themselves to fulfill those deliveries. So, you know, really inspiring story of the growth of delivery from convenience stores, and particularly, of course, for those vulnerable customers and people who are isolating and who need that product delivered to them rather than being able to go to the store.
Exactly. And we see members and consumers adapting to this kind of new normal. And one of the other things that your members will have had to adapt to is the sort of footfall and the amount of money they might be making. We spoke a few weeks ago, James, about the government grants and the access that your members have to it. How has that gone since then? And what's the take up been like for the various loans and grants that are available?
Yeah, we've seen really good take up, particularly for the grants that are available alongside the business rate system. So convenience stores will pay business rates, and depending on what their rateable value is, they were entitled to grants at different levels. So that's been really good. It's a bit sticky at the start, but local authorities have really got going, and our members are now reporting that, yes, most of them are now receiving those grants. And that's really crucial in terms of cash flow, all the additional costs that they've had to incur, finding all those new suppliers and so on. Often where you don't have credit lines with those suppliers, you know, real challenge. So having that money in has really helped in terms of keeping the businesses running smoothly. There is a bit of a challenge for some of our members who are particularly those operating on petrol forecourt stores, where their rateable value might be higher than the threshold the government sets. So one of the things we want the government to do is to extend that threshold a little bit so that we can have more businesses, particularly those people like petrol forecourts, who are playing a really important role, but who may have been particularly badly hit by this crisis because obviously fuel sales are significantly reduced. People aren't going to petrol forecourts as much as they were before. So those businesses need the help most, but with the system as it is, are less able to get that support. So we're campaigning to try to get that support extended to those retailers.
Have your members been telling you about crime in stores? What sort of levels have we seen? Is it up? Is it down?
Yeah, the general levels of shop theft have gone down because in stores where people are socially distancing, maybe one-way routes around stores and things like that, it's much harder for people to steal from the store. But we've also seen an increase in certain areas, particularly city centre stores, where maybe there are people there who had addiction problems and other challenges and resorted, unfortunately, to shop theft to fund those problems. They're no longer able to steal from some of the clothing stores and other places that they may have generally gone to. So really the stores that are open, convenience stores being chief among them, therefore all the theft that's going on is being channeled into our members' stores. So in some cases, we've seen some really significant increases in shop theft. Across the board, it's probably gone down a little bit. But then what we've got this new problem in stores, which is customers arguing with each other, customers putting each other up on social distancing and saying they should be 2 meters away and they're not, customers taking products out of other people's baskets or trolleys, moving into their space to try and get a product off the shelf. Now, most of this, it's people just getting used to the new rules and the regulations. But obviously, there is sometimes unreasonable behavior going on by some customers. And we're finding that our members are really in the middle of trying to police those sorts of interactions in stores. So that violence, verbal abuse that's happening around stores, we've seen that increase in many stores. And I think that's the reason why.
I'm sure listeners will agree that there's just no room for anything like that at all. James, if people want to find out a bit more about what we've been talking about, if your members want this continued advice that you continue to give, where should they go to?
So our website is acs.org.uk. And that has all the information, advice for retailers, advice about our sector and information about our sector. And so, yeah, it's all there.
Thanks for listening to the Local Shop Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to get episodes before anyone else. And if you'd like to, please leave us a review and a rating on that app as well. Also, you can listen through Audio Boom online. Just search for Local Shop Podcast on Google and it should come up pretty quickly. I'll be back next week. But until then, keep up to date with the latest information from us on our website at acs.org.uk.